This podcast includes unapologetic logic and reason
and may not be suitable for all audiences.
In a world full of nonsense, he's been called the voice of uncommon
common sense.
He sees the abnormal
that many find normal.
Author and award-winning speaker,
he is
Chris.
I put this acronym up there, FAIL, First Attempt in Learning, because our country seems to be failing in a lot of key areas right now. It's not just me saying that. People have a lot of big concerns, right, about some key issues, schools, security, safety, all kinds of problems that we see going on. And my big question is, you know, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to sit back and just watch it happen? And whatever your perspective on that, whatever your politics, however you want to look at it, where's the vision, the practical solutions to actually fix these things? And what concerns me is it's not even being talked about. And I want to do my little part to change that the best I can. And I'll tell you why. If we don't do it, who will? Who are we going to rely on? The media, the politicians? It's not happening. We've got to take control. I'm going to do my part to do that. And today, I'm going to lay out a little vision, at least some things to think about, simple, practical solutions. And I challenge you, tell me where I'm wrong. Well, here we are. It's Friday on the Christopher Scott Show. I couldn't be more excited about everything that's going on right now. And I'd like to just give you a little update. I think I have been keeping you updated, maybe a little too much at times, but mainly because I've been excited on so many levels, the interviews, the momentum that we have. Anyway, let me tell you what's going on. First of all, I've asked many of you to go over and check out the website, projectchaos.org. And I wish I would have waited to tell you the truth, because you got to go check it out again. We got all these cool videos up there now. I mean, it's not a ton really, but there's a good bit of cool, cool content that sucks you in. I'm so proud of this. To say this to you, and you can laugh at me if you want, which I know somebody will, which is all good. But even my 9-year-old daughter, there's a fundraising video, if you want to call it that. It was for sponsors. We're looking for sponsors for our book tour, business sponsors. I'm looking for support from wherever right now. I'll get to that part in a second. But anyway, the sponsorship video is all business. And she loved watching that as well. Now, you could say, well, maybe she's placating me or whatever the word would be, but I don't think so. She's a tough cookie and usually pretty honest about everything with Dad, if you know what I mean. Anyway, very excited about it. Go check out projectchaos.org. If you like this podcast, I think you will like that podcast. And obviously, it's veteran-themed, but I think it's relevant to anybody. And we have quite a few non-veterans that are listening. And I'll tell you something else exciting, not in any particular order here, but one of the magical things that has happened, if you've been a fan of this podcast at all, you know that it's been over 6 years or what are we at here? 1,650 something here, 55 today, 56 today. 1,656 podcasts here and radio shows and podcasts on Project Chaos. We've got another 15. We're really close to 1,700 shows that I've broadcast. It's a lot. It's a lot. And it's been a really cool ride getting to this point. But during that time, you know, I've done almost entirely a monologue. It's just been me talking, and we did some experiments with guests. I had the ability on the old platform to take call-ins on the podcast, and we don't do that like that anymore. We do it on Zoom and pre-record it and just take that audio over and post it out on the podcast. The other podcast gave us the ability to broadcast live. There was no value in that at all that I saw. And we did the monologue. Long story short, for 6 years, it's been me perfecting the monologue. And guess what I didn't do? Interviews. So I go to start this new project, projectchaos.org. And I say, well, we need to incorporate interviews because I can't be the one to tell the history of the doggone world, if you know what I mean. And there was a lot of guys that wanted to come on as well. And so I started off and I did two interviews, friendly. I like to start with a little, home team, home court advantage when I can, maybe not too embarrassing. So I started with two guys from my unit and it worked out great for radio purposes, for sure. Great, great broadcast. However, I really struggled with the interviews. I felt like I was cutting them off. I felt like we didn't really get to what they wanted to get to. And I don't want to get into all the negatives of it, but just to say that I was not happy with how they went. I actually paused the interviews for a little bit, which was really tenuous because I had been trumping, the voice of veterans. And yeah, no way to oversell and underdeliver. Great. And yeah, I had a little anxiety. So I could go on and on about this, but I don't want to get too, spiritual, evangelical, but I'll just say God has been good to me every step of the way in this. It hasn't been easy this past couple of months with the new book and everything that's come with it, but it's been exciting and a blessing, and this is the same. So I check it into some things. I get in touch with this broadcaster out in Buffalo, and they broadcast on two stations out there. And I contacted him, and he said, "I'd love to have you on." They did the interview. And anyway, long story short, we go to start the interview. He's an Army guy. And I had my outline of what I wanted to talk about. I'm used to planning out my storyline, if you will. And he would get started, and he says, "Let me tell you how I'm going to run this." And I says, okay. Now, I was fine with that because I'm perfectly comfortable on my feet behind a microphone as well. It doesn't really bother me. So anyway, this dude gets into it, and it was mad. I was like, give me that list of questions. And it's not even just the list of questions. It's just a different way of approaching the interview. And yeah, it's like, if I would have known this 20 years ago, I can't imagine what it would have done for me. Why am I telling you all this? There's a chance I may try to bring some interviews to the Christopher Scott Show. We'll take it one step at a time. Right now, what we need to do with the Christopher Scott Show is really rebuild the audience. And I'll tell you the storyline of this and why one of the reasons why it's been so hard for me. As much work as I've put into this, it's really, really been an uphill battle, in my opinion, very unfair. And as a veteran, I stay positive and I'm going to just continue to find solutions. But I look at what's been done to me and it's crazy. The squashing of my voice. Why? So we had a great run up in the audience. I mentioned this, I think, the other day. We were on iTunes top charts for a couple of months. The election came, and all the audiences seemed to get cut in half were the reports, and we were no exception. And I don't remember if we were at a high at the election. I don't think so. So I think we were getting shadow banned leading up to that. We were. So the highest listens weren't even at that point. We were already coming down at the point of the election, believe it or not. And then everything got cut in half. And then there was some changes to, I don't know, they were saying that, and I could see this, on these podcast apps, it'll download the episodes. It doesn't mean you listen to it. And they're going by those downloads, not necessarily, knowing whether or not you listened to it, part of it, all of it. I don't believe that data exists at all, except for maybe on streaming sites. Maybe that's one of the reasons why people do the streaming. They get a better view of that. I don't know. But long story short, I mean, it was going down. It got cut in half, got cut in half again, then got cut in half again. And there was points where it was like, is this thing going to continue? I was shocked to watch it happen. I stayed with it, and my mindset was this. My mindset was, it's good for me to continue to practice my voice. I just kept preparing myself for a better day. And it came, and it's coming. As it stands, this podcast has been really growing, and I'm excited by that. I think it's because we're going into an election season, so we may pick up half of that, one of those three halves we lost, is my thinking, something like that. It would be good. It would be good. So, you know, it's all looking good. And then we've added this video component, which is off to a slow start, naturally. But I'm going to have some upgrades coming to the ChristopherScottShow.com website as well. And we'll take the same approach. You got to go check out the website at projectchaos.org and go check out that podcast. I've been a little surprised that I thought, you know, immediately that everybody from this podcast would go jump over there. And that's certainly, and not everybody, of course, but we haven't even had half of this audience move over there. What's up with that? You guys don't want to hear some more of my podcast? Maybe not. Maybe people say, Chris, you're doing this every day. You're wearing me out as it is. Well, you're wearing me out too. How's that? I don't know. I'm actually thinking about, I'll throw this at you. And it's definitely on my C list right now. I'll give you the game plan here in a second. Give you the run-up of what we're doing. It's exciting. It's Get Out. It's a great story. It'll be a book in itself. It really will. Wherever it goes, really. The next 6 weeks, I'm going to give you the next 6 weeks. But anyway, I'm thinking about possibly a third podcast. I don't know. Some of you will remember this. I can laugh at myself. Back after the election, I was pissed. Really pissed. I was pissed at our government. And my fellow Americans, really. And I don't want to go back down that path, but I said, you know what? This is just wasting my time talking about this. And I still feel that way quite often. In fact, that's kind of what I want to talk about today. Where's the vision? Anyway, I was so disgruntled. I was like, I'm ending the Christopher Scott Show. They're shadow banning me out of existence. And, you know, there's no room left, and I'm going to go a different path. And I was going to do the Rugged Survivor podcast, which was going to be about homesteading, survival, preparation, outdoor living, that kind of thing. You know me, I'm a little eclectic, but that would be the idea going in the survival niche, I guess you would say. And I wrote a book. Rugged Survivor, as fate would have it. I have a logo designed and the book, 100 pages of it written. Amazing, right? And it's got a little shtick that I'm not going to reveal here today, but I've actually been thinking about that quite a bit and the possibility of doing that as a third show. Have the capability here. We'll see. There's a lot more work I need to do here on this podcast, both in promoting it and a variety of other things. And the Project Chaos project, the book, the radio show, all needs a lot of work. And I think I want to focus on that a little bit more before I spread my wings even further. You know, at some point, if I have some production assistance and maybe some administrative assistance, I just realized I'm bouncing my knee. And here on camera, it looks like I'm riding in a car. That's not a good look. Why am I bouncing my knee? Well, I had a little too much coffee this morning, I guess. Just to finish the thought, we'll see what happens with the Rugged Survivor. Maybe I'll start it here. Maybe I'll offer the book here if I finish it up. We'll see. We'll see. One step at a time, right? Why am I bouncing my knee? I had too much coffee. I had two cups of coffee, but I had two cups of coffee before I had breakfast. And I realize, you know, you've heard me talk about drinking the Monster, and I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but it definitely caused me to be a little angrier than I would necessarily care to be, definitely a little more amped up. And it got me to thinking, you know, the coffee, like you see me bouncing, because I don't like that, and the Monster would not do that to me. And, you know, one cup's not enough. Two cups probably will do it. What's the sweet spot for me? I don't know, 16 ounces of coffee, not 24. We'll figure it out. But note to self as I move into the video format, don't bounce your knee. Don't pick your nose. Don't bounce your knee. Don't scratch your face. Oh, it's killing me. It's so much easier to do podcasting. You know, it's so much easier to be a pretty voice than a pretty face. So what are we talking about here? You've been messing around. Oh, what's coming up real quick, as I'm excited about this. What am I working on? My new book, Victory Over Chaos, is available. You can get the, you can order it over at projectchaos.org. I appreciate your support on that. All my books available. You can get the links over there to order all of them. Projectchaos.org. I have four books available. And three in print, one digital only. Three of the four available on Audible. The fourth one coming soon. I'm excited about that. My book tour launches at local VFW here, Red Hill, Pennsylvania, in about 2 weeks. And let me just talk about that real quick, if you don't mind. It is Friday. Can we just relax a little bit? Okay, thank you. As I'm the one bouncing my knee, right? This book tour represents an incredible opportunity for me. And first of all, you want to talk about home field advantage. For me to go out in front of a group of veterans that have all deployed, it's a unique opportunity to jump into a space that's going to be likely very positive to me, is what I'm expecting. I'm expecting a very, very, very good crowd energy for sure. And I have a great message and a great story to share. So I'm expecting the vibe of that to be really, really positive, really, really strong for me personally. So I'm excited about sharing that, right? It's like I don't want to say a performance because it's not an act, but it's like performing in the sense that there's a feed off the crowd that's very powerful. Hard for me to explain. If you've ever done anything like that, maybe you know what I mean. But I'm excited about that. I'm really excited about it. I remember the rush that I would get from doing stand-up comedy. And it really was. The thing for me was it just didn't have enough purpose and meaning. My heart wasn't really in it. My heart is into this message big time. It's near and dear to my heart. And so is this group. So. Now, what does that mean for me personally, professionally? Well, it's huge. It's huge. Look, I've demonstrated that I'm bouncing my knee again. I was going to say I demonstrated that I can do video. I don't know. I learned how to stop bouncing my knee. I need a little more practice. And I'm sure it'll be the same with this, with doing this event. It's not the first time I've spoken in front of a group of people. It's not the first time I've spoken in front of a large group of people, potentially. Matter of fact, I don't expect this to be the biggest group I've ever spoken to by far. There's so much cool stuff going with it. They have a band there playing after. Some of the cool videos I was mentioning on projectchaos.org, they'll have playing up on big screens there. And my daughter's going to be there. My good brother Michael, who's been helping with this, is going to be there. And other people that I know. Expected to be there as well. And all that to say, it's very exciting. But for me personally and professionally, the video that I'm hoping to get out of this is just, I think is going to be really, really valuable. And it's a crowd that I'm bringing in, so to speak. And it's not exactly true because I'm getting an awful lot of help. No, a ton of help, which is amazing. It's really cool and a beautiful part of this. But I'm attracting a crowd, a live crowd. And I think there's a value to that, my friends. I think there's a value to that. And we'll see. We'll see what the future holds. I don't have any expectations out of it. Now, I will tell you this as a flip side. There's a business side to this, right? How do we make money on it? And it's just a simple reality. I mean, the books cost money, the banners, the printing. We're promoting some social media ads on that at this point. Small scale stuff, but for the local event to get the word out, it seems to be working. It costs money. Costs money to do it. And it's a lot of time and energy for me to do it. And how does that get paid? And we do have a sponsor for the event, which is fantastic. And, you know, we're hoping to have book sales at the event as well. So we'll see what that all nets out at the end of the day. We might still get another sponsor squeezed in. You never know. That would be great. We could see a couple. Actually, there's a few businesses that have poked around. That could really change things. All that to say, it's like a big experiment for me. I'm so excited about where it's going. I'll tell you this. The only thing I need out of this event, I don't care if there's 10 people show up and we don't sell one book. It doesn't matter to me. We already have our sponsor for the event, so that's good. What do you say? Maybe we'll cover the costs on it, something like that. So if we sell a book or two, you know, it would turn into a great event for us. And we'll see what that all leads to. But all I really need is that video. I think is going to be far more valuable for me than any book sales or sponsorships. And don't get me wrong. We're working hard for both. We need it. We need all the above right now. And that's why I say I can use the support. I've never asked the Project Chaos. We're trying to decide whether we wanted listeners supported or corporate sponsors. And the answer is right now, we really need both. We really need both. And so if that's something that interests you in supporting that, I can tell you that it's done an incredible amount of good for every veteran that has heard it. It's such a positive, inspiring message that's real and authentic for veterans. It's not why I do it, and it's not a nonprofit or anything like that. I don't do it to help veterans. I do it to reveal the truth of what we did and do, and to talk about that for important reasons. But it has a byproduct that it is helping people. It's been good for people, having a positive impact. And I'm proud of that. If it's something that you want to support, I'll take it. You could start by the easiest way to support it, by the way, is go over there and get some of those video links off of projectchaos.org. Just click on the YouTube button. It'll take you to YouTube channel there and share those out on social media. It's great shareable content. We never get any complaints. It's appropriate for all ages. It's cool stuff. If just a couple of people listening to this would go to projectchaos.org and share those videos out, that would be probably as valuable as a cash contribution at this point. Certainly buy my books. I appreciate that. That always helps. Audible as well as the print copies. And if you want to sponsor projectchaos.org, I'd be super appreciative of it. There's an easy way on the website there that you could do a small one time. You could do monthly, whatever you're comfortable with. And I'd appreciate it. If you have a business that you think would benefit, if you're listening to this, it would probably be more so on the podcast side than the radio show side. But we try to add a lot of value for the sponsors as well. So if you're interested in that, let me know. Take a look at it, whatever the case might be, and we'll see what happens. I figure I'll throw the invitation out there for anybody who is interested. My brother, I have a brother who's helping with this. I say, hey, we're not hard selling anybody. We're going to invite people in, and if it's something that makes sense, we'll find our brand that's going to take Project Chaos. I believe brand or brands or some kind of sponsor that sees the value and all that. And it's evergreen, transcendent content. I mean, the interviews that we're doing will be valuable for a million years. They really will. It's amazing. I've been talking quite a while, and I want to talk about something else. It's Friday. I'm going to just talk a little longer maybe than normal. Why not? We're allowed to do that. And I don't know, maybe I'll get through this. We don't have to be so serious all the time. I'm allowed to relax once in a while too. I've been working pretty hard now that I think about it. 14 hours a day, killing myself, having a great time. I definitely could feel yesterday. My daughter said, can we go for a bike ride? And I said, I got a lot to do, sweetheart. And I said, it looked all nice. I said, yeah. And three times we went for a longer loop. What are you going to do? Anyway, I put this acronym, first attempt in learning, and this idea that failure is a step to success. What does that mean in terms of politics in our country? You know, we had a system that forgave failure, unlike no other. People forget this history of, we've never experienced it, but things like debtors' prisons and horrific things done for people that didn't repay debts. And we came with a new culture and a new way of thinking about all that. And you know what was magnificent? And the idea of the forgiveness of failure was the recognizing that it was a path to success. What am I talking about? Every single major invention that the United States brought to the world, from the airplane to space travel, computers, the telephone, the automobile, you name it. Modern manufacturing. It's endless. Why? Like Milton Hershey, look at the story, how many times he failed before he succeeded. And, now we see people want to change things. Well, part of what? Our justice system has changed. The whole idea of rewards and working hard all seems to be turned upside down. Why? And what are we getting out of it? And just to put that in a simple way, I would keep saying, "What? Hey, is this the progress? Is this the liberal progress that we were promised? Is this the democratic progress that Milton Friedman talked about?" Too many Miltons in this conversation. I don't know. Forget about politics a second. Forget about the rhetoric. And that's the other thing I just want to do a little different today. I can bring the political rhetoric. It's just, the mudslinging, the dirty talk and casting doubt. And a lot of it's really true. Some of these people involved. But let's just move on from that and let's talk about problem solving for a second. Because nobody's really talking about that. But wouldn't you agree that something isn't working? Wouldn't you agree that there's at least some level of problems? And what's driving that things are not working on such a broad scale? Why? Well, it's greed, selfishness, lies. Come on. This isn't conspiracy. And it's all evil. Don't forget this. So that's the first thing we need to do. What, you say? Let's start to restore our spiritual base in this country. Uh-oh, there he goes. He's going to go alt-right Christian. No, I'm not. I said spiritual base, and I believe in spiritual freedom, complete spiritual freedom. But right now the problem is we have no spiritual grounding at all. And you could see a Muslim culture quickly cause problems for us because they do have a spiritual grounding, even if you don't want to agree with it or you do, it doesn't matter. But right now we just see chaos because like anything goes, anything's permissible, but people know that it's not. And people are confused as a result of it naturally. So how do we do this? How do we restore our spiritual grounding? I would say to you very simply, you don't want government involved in church. That doesn't work. You have people talking about bringing prayer back to schools, and I say to you, you're nuts. What prayer are you talking about exactly? Whose prayer? The Catholic prayer? The Protestant prayer? Think about the Jewish prayer. Which prayer is going to be acceptable? You're going to cause nothing but a big fight. You can't have government involved in it, and it's not appropriate to do it in the public schools either. You want religion in schools? I'm all for it. I really am. It's called private school, and I'll get to that in a second. But the best thing that the government could do to encourage our country's spiritual grounding is to encourage businesses to close on Sundays. And I'm not really in favor of laws to restrict it, but I think we could use tax incentives to encourage it. And it would be better for employees, less burnout. It would be better for the environment. And it would be better for our sanity, where people would just get a natural break of things. I don't know. I mean, we're so far removed from the idea of a Sabbath. Nobody even uses these terms anymore. You realize that it was this Sabbath that at one point was such an important religious ritual that people would be stoned for breaking the Sabbath rules. And look at where we're at today. It's interesting, but it would naturally make time for church. And I think it would help at least give the opportunity to restore the spiritual grounding in this country. The schools are another issue, and I think it's really huge that we take a close look and pay close attention to what's going on in the education system. It's our future. The product that we're kicking out of these schools is going to be a real problem in 20 years. You're going to see the success or failure of that system down the road. It's a little crazy. But I think we need to privatize it. And you could very easily put these school systems up for sale. There's private funds that would scoop in and love the opportunity to do something for that. And you would have to deal with the issue of areas that wouldn't be profitable because of whatever demographic or geographic issues. It's a real issue. And I do believe that you would have to make sure that that was taken care of. Now, the question is, how is it funded? Because in a private education system, let's say, you wouldn't pay any property taxes, but you would have to pay for your education. I say that this is fantastic. I look at our property taxes here, and they're so high that would it allow my wife not to work? Well, I don't know if it would be quite enough in our case, but it would certainly go a long way to getting us there to where she could homeschool. And it would just bring up another option where children would stay home with their families. And I personally think it would be a great thing. Church communities, people raising their own kids. Wow. These are radical ideas I'm talking about. And I'm not qualified to talk about any of it. I'm not an educator. I'm not a doctor. But it's just an idea I'm throwing out there. This issue with the border is going to destroy us. How can we have a country without a border? I don't understand. Now everybody seems to be waking up to the, even the sanctuary city people are, you know, even they may not agree on the solution or the cause of the problem, but they realize that there is a problem. So look, the very simple thing to do would be to stop any handouts for one, but also fines for anybody employing illegal immigrants. And that would basically, I think, go a long way to reducing the problem on its own. Reduce the economic benefit and the people naturally go away. Trust me. Trust me on that. The debt issue, which is going to come to a head at some point, and it has to. It can only, I always said this with this debt problem where it's continuing to go up. It's never going to get paid back. I say, okay, you know, how does this story end? Because at some point it just becomes completely absurd and has to be dealt with. Well, listen, the first thing is you got to balance the budget and get the spending in order. And it's crazy that that's like thought of as a radical idea to the point, right? It's not even discussing. You bring it up, what? You want to do what? Do you realize what would happen if we didn't buy? we'd be being fiscally responsible. Look, we got to reduce the size of government. And here's my point about it. We would be so much better off for it. I believe we really would. The military, there's a real issue here. I believe we do need a strong military. We spend a god-awful fortune on doing what we do. And why is that? Because we become the world's police force. And I don't think that that really can continue. And maybe that was the idea behind the United Nations. And, you know, but look, if you don't have a world's police force, you don't have open waters, open skies. And the net result of that means that you don't have free trade amongst the nations. That tends to hurt some of the poorest many times. You don't have free travel. People can enjoy and come and go, and that takes away from the freedom to travel naturally. And it seems to be getting less free in that regard, all of it. Less freedom of trade, less freedom of the skies. Not so much right now the skies yet, but certainly we see the less freedom of the seas. And what is that all going to bring us? A whole different kind of world, potentially. I'm not sure that people are fully seeing the impact of all that. And that's kind of the problems and some of the practical solutions. And let me just throw this out to let you go on this. You know, it's like the Super Bowl this year. All the discussion was about Taylor Swift and what Travis Kelce wore off the bus. Nobody was talking football. Nobody was talking about what's going on. We've so lost sight of what is going on. And I know the fear mongering and World War III and Civil War and lock them up and all that stuff is fiery stuff that gets people razzed up. But at some point, the big boys need to come into the room and take care of business. And I don't say that to be misogynistic. The women can join as well. I'm not excluding anybody. The point is that we need some real practical leadership, serious conversations. And with that, I'll just use this little example. I don't know that we do have to throw out all the immigrants. And there's strong opinions about this, but let me just back away from that a second. We could legalize it, all right? And why isn't there a vision to rebuild our cities? Go to Detroit. Why aren't they resettling migrants there and giving them a shovel and lumber and here, you know, some kind of vision, some kind of plan? You know, a migrant center and a tent is not a plan. It's dumping the problem on the citizens who are not in any way, shape, or form going to be equipped to deal with it. And it's just creating a real catastrophe on so many levels, bankrupting these cities. We got to get a handle on it. Somebody has to come along and say, look, you know, a strong spiritual foundation, strong proper fiscal spending, that we have a strong dollar that people have confidence in, that we have confidence in our journalism and our media, and we have some level of confidence in our government. All that's been lost. We need to rebuild it pretty much from the bottom up at this point. I said first attempt in learning. Every day is a new day. Somebody's going to do it. If not you, then who? God willing, I will be back tomorrow. Yeah. We might do another podcast tomorrow. I'm not sure if I'm going to do the video for tomorrow, but that's the game plan right now. I'll see you there. In the meantime, make it a great day.